Praise the Lord. I don't want to break the ice. I was hoping Phil would. But I don't know. I just had a thought when we were back there, when I was back there, about how easy it is to come into a meeting like this, and every time we come into church, and to, and I'm speaking by experience here, but to just, the Lord gave me a picture of like flipping a light switch. When you walk in through the door, or when you're around someone from the church, it's kind of like we can flip on the light switch and the light that's in us starts coming out, but then we can go right back out that door and flip that switch back off and be just like the rest of the world. I've been there. That's the reason I can say that. But today the Lord, he laid it on my heart, scripture in 2 Corinthians 13. I trust this is the Lord. But it's in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you?" Has been brought up this week. You know, it's his power that's in us. It says, "Unless, of course, you fail the test." I think that's all I'll read there, but the thought that the Lord gave me was, I appreciate so much what Kenny said this morning about chapter 1. You know, the Lord, he wants to transform us into his image. It's not it's not coming up here one time or give your life to him and asking for salvation, but it's a day-by-day process. But I believe the thought he gave me was that he can change us even if when we examine ourselves, if we do find something, we need to seek him and ask for that changing, to be transformed. The other scripture I thought of is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that's in verse 17. And it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." I believe the Lord would just have us ask ourselves, are we a new creation? Is there evidence there that lines up with his word, showing that we have been transformed, that we are born again? Like, I mean, I've been coming to this church for 30 years, and I've known the Lord, but that process is still going on. I mean, I'm not sinless, you know, by any means, but the Lord he's doing that work, and I trust that he'll do it for others. But what verse was that? Oh, yeah, 17 here. And it says, "The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ." Praise the Lord, he sent his son, that he's given us this new life that we can have access to, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. I don't know what much more I can add to that, but I do just, I believe the Lord will have us all examine our hearts, and if there is anything, let's ask him. It's like Phil said recently, "Lord, I won't stop asking you. I won't let you go until you bless me and take this thing from me, out of my life. If it's a bondage, let's go to him. We need to be free so that we can go out and that we can minister to others." Praise the Lord.
Good evening.
You know, I'd like to give I'd just like to speak from my heart, if I could, just for a few minutes. Most of you know who I am. Jesse got up and said he's been coming to this church for 30 years. Well, I've been coming to this church since 1971. Started at a women's club in Lake City, Florida, before they built the church in Lake City. I would like to say this, that my life is, God has been with me my whole entire life. And I'm thankful for that. When I was a young kid, he dealt with my heart. I knew that there was a God. And I went through the motions and through the form of salvation and religion. I learned I learned how to raise my hands at the right time. I learned how to say some of the right things. I learned how to sing the songs, even the song that Brian just let out on. And you know, it's no longer I can say that today. It's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. But I can tell you, there was a time that I sung that song and I did not have it. You know, there's a song we used to sing to fool a lot of, you know, something about I used to fool a lot of friends of mine. I fooled a lot of people, I thought. But the person that I fooled the most was myself. My concern is for the people that are here. We are blessed, folks. By all measures, we're blessed. So mightily blessed. God has given us his word. I appreciate how the Lord has used Brother Phil in the past and in this meeting. How he's encouraged us to have it. Tony's got up after that, encouraged us to have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying. But I'm going to tell you, Brother John Campbell, he used to say this about his family. He said, if some of his family members need to go out and steal a pig, rob a bank, I needed to do that myself. I needed to rob a bank and steal a pig because I looked at myself and I thought I was okay. But I wasn't. I remember as a boy, Brother Thomas used to give altar calls. You know, we're taught here at this church not to doubt your salvation. And I remember Brother Thomas give altar calls, and it would just tear me up. And the whole time he'd give altar calls, I would be standing there saying, get behind me, Satan. I'd refuse to doubt my salvation. I look back, I was sharing this with Danny down, and I think it was Danny. I look back at my life, and do you believe that Satan would make you doubt your salvation during an altar call? I didn't know the voice that I was listening to. Folks, there is a voice that's speaking here, and it's a small, still voice. And I would encourage each and every one of you, as I started to say, we're blessed. The majority of us, I believe, love the Lord. I believe that the majority of us has given ourselves to him. We believe that he's our redeemer, our great rewarder. He's our Father. We believe that, and we're encouraged for that. But I'm telling you, there's probably people here that don't know him. And I don't want you to be fooled like I was fooled. I was 28 years old. I went to a gentleman's house, and I had too much to drink. I had two small kids. This is my pig that I stole. Thinking that I was right all the time, but knowing there was something missing, but I refused to examine myself. I had too much to drink. My wife, bless her heart, she'll tell you today that when I used to drink or when I did drink, and I had too much, I was a nicer person than I was when I was sober. So I'm one of the few lucky ones, folks, because there's a lot of people that drink, gets mean, and they're hateful. But I believe that what's in you will come out during them circumstances, and I believe that God just mightily blessed my wife and protected her, protecting my kids. Anyway, at the time the Lake City Church was two members from the Lake City Church. Two families were going to Jacksonville, and one family was coming to Lake City. And it was our turn to go to Jacksonville. And just to be honest with you, when I woke up, when I come to the next day, you know, I was torn up. Just to be honest, I was bothered. How could I have allowed myself to go that far? All things work together for good. God can make a mess out of a pile of crap. And he did in my life, and he's done it in every one of us. If you know Christ, every one of us, we all had the song, "This is my story, this is my song." I needed a Savior, folks, and I had to thank God he's faithful and he came to me. But I was 28 years old before that happened. And I remember, this is a testimony, I remember that Brother Thomas gave an altar call. We was having a convention in Jacksonville. Brother Thomas gave an altar call, and I went through this same fight. I refused to doubt my salvation. I refused to give it. I did everything in my power to just block it out. And God wouldn't let it go away. There was something in me that said, I need to go forward. I need to surrender. I need to make things right. And I refused. My pride. I was raised in this church, and I thought people would say, well, what is he going forward for? Because I think he's saved. Why is he? Folks, I thank God he brings you to a point in life that it doesn't matter who sees you go forward. When you're ready to surrender, you'll throw in the towel. You don't care if the President of the United States is looking at you. You'll say, enough is enough, and I need a Savior. I was at that point in my life. I needed salvation, but I didn't go forward. The next service, Brother Thomas gave another altar call, and I went home that first night. And Satan come, boy, he's faithful. I'm telling you, he's faithful. He come whispering in my ear and said, yep, you're mine now. You're a reprobate. You lost your last chance. So the next service, he gave an altar call, and I went forward. And I was dead as a dead doornail. I missed my mark. And Satan, that's what I thought. Satan was faithful. He come right and see, I told you. Convention went over, got over with, and we lived about 1,000 feet from we lived in a subdivision, and I lived about 1,000 feet across the road, and there was a big cornfield, and everybody that knows me knows that I'm very sensitive. Heaven was brass. I couldn't get through. I went to the cornfield, and I was walking. I lost sleep. I couldn't sleep for weeks. Couldn't eat, lost weight. My wife, I couldn't even tell her. How can you tell someone that you're married to that you're not saved? And the whole time that you fooled yourself and you fooled her and you fooled everybody that you thought, again, you think that you're fooling them. You're not fooling them. You're worse, you're fooling yourself. God knows. And I'm going to tell you this, if you're God's, God is not going to let go of you. He will not lose a one of you. Brother Thomas used to say this. He used to say, you know, the Lord asked me if I sent you to hell, would you praise me? Brother Thomas said, yes. My wife came and woke me up, said, are you going to church in Jacksonville? And I said, yeah, I'll get up. I got up and I got in the shower, and I was, man, I'm telling you, I was at the bottom, which is a good thing. Because God has to bring you down before he brings you up. And that's what he did for me. I went in the shower. I started taking a shower. And that same thing that Brother Thomas said to all of us. If God sent you to hell, would you praise him? And he was talking to me directly in the shower. And I said, yes, Lord, I need you. And he was mighty love engulfed. Come into the shower. And I turned my heart to him. And I've been saved. And I am saved. And I thank God for that. Amen. It's a miracle that any one of us is saved. Amen. There's a scripture that says at midnight. Talking about hearing. We talked about that. At midnight there was a cry made. It says, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out and meet him. There was 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. Folks, I'm telling you, I was one of them foolish ones before Christ come and dealt with my heart personally. Thank God it wasn't too late for me. Thank God that he didn't tell me to go get oil, and while I was getting my oil, he came and shut the door. And I thank God he didn't do that. But there is no promise that for tomorrow. Young people, old people, if you do not know my Lord, I'm telling you, he's available tonight. Hear his voice, how he speaks so softly, so gently. He loves us so dearly. He doesn't want a one of us to be lost, not a one. He gave his son for us. He paid the price that we could not have paid. Oh, he's adorable. He is loving. He's so kind. I'm telling you, if you don't have peace and you don't have rest, examine yourself. Folks, it's worth everything to be born again. There's nothing else to live for but for him. Can I say that I'm perfect? Heck no. I'm just like everybody else in this room. But I serve a perfect Savior. I thank God for this meeting. And I thank God for his mercy, his love, his kindness, his salvation. I'm telling you, folks, is the peace that passes all understanding, because I was torn up. I'm telling you, people don't know this about me. This is a testimony that I've had. I've shared it for some people, but I've never shared it publicly. But I'm telling you, it's real. Salvation is real. And don't think because your mama and your daddy and your grandparents and you yourself are sitting in this church that you're okay, because I was raised in this church. Examine yourself. Do you know him? And if you don't know him, you search for him all your heart. You do like Jacob did when they come. He said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Nothing else is worth living for.
Praise the Lord. I haven't been up here in a while, and the last time I was, things didn't go quite so well. Praise God. Sometimes God puts you through things to see what you're going to do and what's going to come out in here. And God does it. But I feel what the brother shared is in my heart, too. You know, we'd hate to come together as the Lord talking to somebody, and we don't encourage that. Jesus Christ is about people. He went to the cross and died because of people. People like you, people like me. Total failures in life. He saved somebody that should have been left gone. Me. I was in this church for 20 years, I guess. I listened to Brother Thomas, and I heard the Lord talk more than once, and at least twice. At the old church, I went forward. I wanted God. I'm going to tell you right now. Brother Thomas could make you want God whether you wanted to or not. And I went forward twice at the old church, and I think twice up here. And I didn't get it. And I used to think something was wrong with me because people were getting it, but I wasn't. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't get enough Jesus Christ to last me for 20 minutes after I walked out the door. But I'm going to tell you what. Over a period of time, he had a way of wearing me down and getting me where I needed to be. And I'm going to tell a little bit about that story, because when I walked out of this church, I left home. I went into the service because of rebellion. And walked right into a fire. And I got into drug dealing. And I went to prison for it. And I was in prison. I went to prison. I destroyed any kind of respect I could probably ever get out of my family. I destroyed my dad. My dad was very patriotic, and here his son, he gets kicked out. I got court-martialed. A lot of people don't probably know, but I got involved with drugs. And then I got to doing the drugs, and that was the downfall. And I got involved with that, and then I ended up going to prison for it. And even when I got out of that and come back home, I still didn't want the Lord. Didn't want nothing to do with it. And so I went off and I got married, got into that life, and that ended up being a disaster there. And I got messed up on alcohol. I abused alcohol for probably close to over 30 years. And the alcohol led to drugs. I started out smoking marijuana. I like marijuana, but it led me into other drugs, harder drugs. I was on cocaine at least 4 times, pretty heavy. I got into abusing pain medication. I got on that with opiates, and I was shooting heroin. I never had thought that I would ever in my life do anything like that. But this process the Lord had me in, he was breaking me down little by little. He was breaking me down a little bit. Everything. I thank God now for all of it. Because he was shaving a hard guy off little by little. He was breaking him down. And finally, my drug abuse and everything brought me to the end of myself. Really, face to face. Now, I'm going to tell you this story. Not long before I ended up in a hospital, I'd been over in Fayetteville, North Carolina, all night, shooting up drugs. Came home, crashed into bed, and I woke up the next morning, and I said, oh, no, not again, not again. I got up and sat on the couch, and I'm going to tell you something, brother. So I could see Jesus on that couch. And I remember going, I said, Jesus, I said, what are you going to do with me? I am totally out of control. What are you going to do with me? I said, Jesus, I don't hate you. I love you. I do. But I'm out of control. I can't help myself. And it was not long. It was just a few days after that. I wanted to quit so bad that I was looking in how to do it, and I come up with these plans, and I had them wrote down. And one morning I woke up and there was a voice going, you ain't going to quit. I picked a date. You ain't going to quit. I said, oh, yeah, I'm quitting right now. And I quit then. And I went through pure hell for about 5 days. That's a whole nother story. But I went over to see my mom about 5 days later when I came through all these withdrawals and went through this ordeal. And I was detoxing off of, I forget what they call it now. It's in Valium, but it's Valium, and it takes a while. It's a depressant, and it can be really hard coming off. And I was having these tremors when I went over to see Mom. And when Mom confronted with me, I just admitted the whole thing. I just let it out and told her no. And so I ended up in the emergency room, and I told them I had quit doing drugs but I didn't know how to stay quit, and I needed help. So they made arrangements, and they sent me to this place. It was a secular park program down in South Georgia, and that's where the Lord got a hold of me at. I was in there, I was very angry. At first, when I was in there, I was really angry. I was in a trash can. I was in a place where they throw people at when the rest of the world is using them up. They're used up, they're no good. They're no good for everybody. It's literally a trash can for human beings. But I'm gonna tell you what about Jesus Christ. He travels the trash cans of this world. And every once in a while, he'll reach down and he'll pick one out. And he'll say, this one is mine. And he did that for me. And I went to a AA meeting, and I loved the people in AA. They headed in the right direction, most of them. I went to an AA meeting, and that particular meeting, they pick a topic, and it was on shame. And I never will forget it. These men stood up, went forward, and they told their story about their drug addictions and what all and why they were there on shame. And I'm going to tell you what, each time one of them guys would get up there, they would tell my story. They would tell my story, and it just peeled at my heart. It really peeled at my heart. And by the time this thing was over, I ran back to my room and I just dived into bed. I was in. And my sin, brothers and sisters, like our brothers, one day your sin comes a calling and you come face to face with the fact that you are dead. I mean dead. And you're looking at your sin and you're looking at everything you've ever done and the people you have destroyed and the people you have hurt. And trust me, one day you see these faces and you start thinking about what they said to you and you start thinking about what you said to them. I did something I'd never done before, but I reversed that, and I put myself in their place. I'd never done that before, and I went, oh, my God. And that was about the time Jesus Christ showed up. Praise the Lord. I literally had an encounter with our Lord. When the devil was there to take me, Jesus Christ showed up at the same time and totally surprised him. And our Savior said, he said, Rick, you can lay that all on me. I said, Lord, I want you more than I want my next breath. I ain't got nowhere to go but up. I'm already down at the bottom. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The Lord changed me in an instant. The whole way I was thinking, my hand to the Lord, I tell you right now, the whole way that I was thinking completely changed on the dime. I don't know if that happens for everybody. I don't know if that's salvation. I couldn't tell you what salvation is. But I can tell you this. The whole way that I was thinking changed right there. And I walked out of that room, I was headed in a total, total different direction. And I realized the one thing that hit me, the lights came on. And I remember I said this myself in my mind, I was going, I said, I don't even know who Jesus Christ is. I don't know that much about him. And what became the goal of my life at that? I wanted to know who Jesus Christ was. And I was not going to be stopped. And that was the full focus from that point on, then on, and it has been. And the Lord saved me in that secular program, I believe, to show me he could save people anywhere. And then he had lined up all these Christian programs, just one right behind the other. And I went, everyone, I went from one to another. Then I ended up working at a ministry. And it was the blessing of my life. And I have never been happier. I don't drink or do drugs no more. I've never been happier. The Lord gave me something to live for. I didn't have nothing to live for. I had destroyed, ruined everything that I even ever come in contact with. And the Lord saved my life. Saved my life. And he gave me a life worth living. You know. Once you get in this walk, you need that power that Brother Phil's talking about, though. And we have access to it because we're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Anything that was flowing into Jesus Christ when he walked this earth is now available to every one of us. Every bit. Makes me ashamed to think of my performance. When do you think about that? But I'm right in the same boat with Brother Phil on this stuff. I got a lot of room to grow, a lot of room to go. And I still get caught up in what I would call these everyday emotions that I feel like are just me. You know, and I feel like everybody ought to deal with just me because I'm dealing with just you.
I just wanted to give affirmation to how the Spirit of the Lord was moving when Brother Dean got up. That was on my heart too before the service. And I was thinking, you know, in the room today over in Luke 14, I'll just read this, but particularly when Kenny mentioned that your story can start tonight, Kenny said, you know, we've got a testimony and we've heard that tonight. Many wonderful redemptive testimonies. We all could get up here in some form or fashion and share that. I certainly could. I shared mine last week there in Lexington. But, you know, the fact is, Carl came down recently. You know, he said, we have a broken world, but there's still hope. There's still time. And what I sense in my heart, I'm so glad all that God has shared with us, but, you know, very specifically when Dean got up, you know, the Lord is calling people even now, even tonight. God is calling people. There is still room at the table. There is still room at the table. Luke 14, verse 16. A man, this is the words of the Lord here. A man was given a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. The slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame. That's every one of us. That's what we heard tonight. And the servant said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. And listen to verse 24 here. Jesus said, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. And the word of God says, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. And I tell you what, probably most of us in this room who have been saved, you didn't plan on it when it happened. You're not planning on that. You know, in a carnal way, some people say, you know, life is the stuff that happens while you're making plans or whatever. You know, there's some truth to that. But I can tell you, you don't, you know, mark down the calendar when this happens. You know, I would just ask you, is the Holy Ghost speaking to your heart? Is he drawing you? Do you hear his voice? Or do you sense a need? Does this strike a chord when you hear these brothers and sisters share up here? And you know, you may not always hear his voice. And there comes a time where, you know, the Word of God talks about that we were breaking bread together there at Betty's today. And you can become hardened. You can sure resist and become hardened. So I would just say, if you're hearing God, there's still room at the table. There is room at the table. Let him in. Do what Dean said. It's real, y'all. You know, intellectual assent is a whole lot different than the living Christ when he comes in. It's a whole lot different. And you can say all the right words. Dean, amen, brother, with a capital A. You just hit the nail on the head. And, you know, you'll know that you passed from death unto life because of the love of the brethren. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you have an inward witness of God. And it's not so much what you say, you know, it's who you are when Christ comes in. And you don't have to tell anybody. If they don't know it, you need not tell them, you know. And either you got the Spirit of God or you don't. But I'm telling you, there's room at the table. And the Lord God is saying, come. Come and dine. Sup. Have some peace and joy and rest. You know, the Word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And, you know, he that hath the Son hath life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And, you know this. Actually, you know this already, whether or not the Son of God is living in your heart. You can't feign that. It is real. It's an absolute, you know, Paul Washer says you'll know a transformation happens. You know, this is a crass way of saying it, but, you know, if a Mack truck hits, you know, a human being, you'd probably be aware of it. There's a clear result. You know, that's not the most beautiful illustration. I love the brother. He's a good brother. But there's going to be a change, y'all. There's going to be a difference. You're not the same. Again, you don't think the same way that you did before. Your priorities change. But think about all that was said there. You know, there's so much in our day to occupy every ounce of our time. Just total captivation of our mind, you know, just everything but what we need, and which is the Lord. And I would just say, let him speak to you. Is he talking to you tonight? If the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart, he will come in and sup with you. Let him in. Let him in. And there's still room. There's still room at the table. And, you know, I have to be candid. Mom and I had a conversation, and I thank God for Dean opened his remarks with this. And I pray every time we have a meeting, you know, the streams of thought is to encourage and edify the saints. We're becoming transformed into his image. Clearly, we are. But yet there are those who would need to get on the path as well, you know. And I think that the rightly divided Word of God is what we need. We need topical, full coverage of the moment. And the Holy Ghost gives full coverage of the moment. It's not just to one population. And, you know, the Lord is not limited. But there are those, no doubt, that have not yet said, Lord, come in to my heart. There's no question that those online are here. Somebody, maybe you can feel the Lord drawing you tonight. And so today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let him in. Let the Lord in. If he's tugging at your heart, You know, there's no magical formula. You know, we're not into, you know, some modus operandi, you know, do this, do that. But we've heard many different examples tonight. But I would just say, if you're hearing his voice, harden not your heart. You know, the devil is a master at telling you all about what the next steps are in your life. You know, I'm going to study this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, you may not do any of those things. I mean, God only knows. But here we are today, and we're in his presence. And so let's let him in if he's tugging at your heart tonight. And we don't need excuses. Jesus said, these men will not taste my supper. You know, there comes a time when his spirit will not always strive with man. You know, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And let him into your heart. All you got to do is say, Lord, help me. Yes, Lord. It's not complicated. It is not complicated. But let the Lord in. My Lord, help us tonight. I just pray that God will continue to work in us and leave us not to ourselves. Leave us not to ourselves. But I just wanted to say, Dean, amen. I felt the same thing this afternoon, and that scripture came to me. And these testimonies bore witness how God brought these brothers. And thank you for sharing them. And Brother Dave, man, we all do that. Man, we're in the same boat. You need not be discouraged at all. And it'll be one of us next time, and you'll give us a big hug. So praise God. And so God is good, y'all. God is good. Let him in. I mean, we don't have time. This world, it's later than we realize. We've heard this for how many years now? But it wouldn't surprise me. This whole thing is fragile. This whole world system is just teetering. You know, the Lord is coming, and if you know him, you're going in with him. And those that were ready went in, you know. And if you don't have that holy, righteous garment that Christ put on you, you're improperly clothed. And you're not going to sit at that wedding feast in your own attire. Christ has to put his robe on you. And God help us tonight. God help us all. And let's do what Dean did. Let's just start crying out to the Lord. Let him in, you know. I hope somebody else will get up here. But I just want to say amen. God was in that, and I'm encouraged. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. I confess I was sort of fighting and saying, Lord, somebody else. But I appreciate the Lord's presence tonight. There are so many things that are positive. But if there is a theme, it certainly has to do with really coming to him and knowing that you're his. It started right at the beginning, and then we heard two different testimonies about how God had to bring somebody to face-to-face with their need. Why would you come for salvation if you don't realize you have a need? It's like Brother John B. used to say, and it was quoted tonight, he wished his relatives would steal a hog or something, and so that they could actually have something to repent of. But the reality is we all do. I mean, I'm not going to give you my testimony. I grew up in a preacher's home, and I believe I came to the Lord at a very young age. But the reality is we are all made of the same stuff. I don't care. I was in the garbage can just as much as Ricky claimed to be, because that's the reality. And I'll go ahead and share this one thought. I don't think it's necessary to go on long here. But we had Gail Williams' funeral the other day, and the Lord just sort of gave me a picture to share. And you know, a lot of people have debated about the death of Christ. Who caused it? Who's responsible? Oh, the Jews did it. Oh, the Romans did it. And the thought that I shared was, I did it. I did it. Every time that I knew what was right, and I chose to do what was wrong, that was me taking the hammer and nailing that spike into his hands and into his feet. And I pray that God will take the reality of what we are and show us our need. He doesn't do it to make you feel worthless and like dirt and hopeless, I guess is the word I'm trying to say. He does it because it's the truth. God doesn't save good people. There are no good people. If you ever see the reality of what you are, and self has been mentioned, that's the root of it. I don't care how that comes out. I mean, it may come out with drug addiction and that, or it may come out with pretending to be a Christian so many years. There are all kinds of ways it comes out. But it's self on the throne. And the bottom line is we got to see how rotten self is and what its destiny is and come to a point where we are willing to come to that cross and say, Lord, I embrace the reality of what I really am in your sight. And I call upon you to come into my life. I recognize that you died because I messed up. I'm the one who's wrong. You took my guilt willingly. You showed me what love is really about. And all you want me to do is to come to you and just to come clean and turn from that way and give it up, but also know that you're going to have to depend on me to be any different. You need a brand new life. You don't need a new lifestyle and a new religious profession. You need a new birth. You need to be born of God's life, because you were born into Adam's family, and that doesn't work. Everyone born into Adam's family is going to die in the end. But I'll tell you, there's a life that can never die, and that's what Jesus Christ went to the cross, went to the tomb, and came out of the tomb, went to a throne so that he could share that life maybe with somebody here tonight. And I know there's all kinds of ways to do it, and you're well aware, I've gotten away from altar calls, because I think you can just get emotional and notice that in both cases tonight, the testimonies, salvation had nothing to do with an altar call, did it? One was in the shower, one was in the barrel, I guess. I don't know. Anyway. But it's wherever he confronts your heart and brings you to a knowledge of your need, and you know you're going to do something about it. And you say yes from your heart, and he comes in and he makes you a brand new person. And then you start the journey that we've all been talking about. Yeah, there's still, you're going to look at all of us who truly have come to the Lord, you're going to see faults. Guess what? We're works in progress. But I'd rather be a work in progress than a dead fish floating down towards destruction. Thank God. And I don't know how to conclude this. I'm frank with you because, like we say, we've had all kinds of ways of doing it. But I'm thinking about just saying, why don't we just join our hearts in prayer? Worship the Lord. Pray for those who are in need. And while we are doing that, those who feel that they are in need, you have an awesome opportunity to call on God from your heart. And I'll tell you, if you do it from your heart, he will answer. You're not trying to overcome his reluctance. We're laying hold of his willingness, but he knows when it's real. He knows when you're really laying it all down and putting your trust in him and no turning back, because the scripture was quoted and referred to just a minute ago, being passed from death to life. There is a transition that happens that's definite. Doesn't happen the same way for everybody, but there is a point in time, just like there is with a real birth. There's a point in time when you literally pass from death to life. Could be tonight, I don't know. Or you may go out of here and the Lord is going to wrestle with you, and he may get to you in a shower or in your bed. What was it with Joe? It was after a service in a convention. Yeah, she's back there nodding her head, and yep. And the Lord just put something in her heart, and she worshiped the Lord, and the Lord just came down. There was something that was a yielding and believing and trusting, and God met her right there in her bed, I believe it was, in her room anyway. I'll tell you, if we went around the room, I bet you most people wouldn't say, oh, I came down to an altar, and I prayed a certain formula prayer, and that's when it happened. It can happen anywhere, anytime, but I'll tell you, when you're in a place where Jesus is here, He's here. And he cares about you, and he cares about the reality of where the world is and where you're at. It might be your day. Now, I don't know. That's up to you. That's between you and him. There's got to be a living encounter between you and the Savior. And so I'm gonna turn my microphone off. How's that? Alan can say what he wants to. Lord, that's all right.
And just, if you need the Lord, you call upon him. Yes. And then just see what happens. Just have a season of prayer, and then we'll see where we go. Maybe Matt will just close it out. Like I say, I don't know what to do. I'm going to sit down, and we're just going to pray. How's that? Praise God.